Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the word.
What you've done through your people, Lord, through this time, Father, we come right now. I want to commit our hearts and our minds, Lord, and to your word and to the vision, Father, that you have for us on this church, Father. We ask, Lord, that you will speak, for your people need to hear from you, Father. Speak, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we might be doers of your word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Give God a hand and clap of praise. Bethlehem.
Thank you, Lord.
That sounds good. Let's do that again. Bethlehem.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And it is our job. It's our reason for living. It's our every breath that we take is to make him known. And who is him?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus Christ. Every Sunday and every time I speak from this point on until we manifest this, we just want to show the vision for this church. It's on the screen, and I've said to some that some of you are parking in our sanctuary. And I did not know what that sanctuary looked like when I said that, but now I do. And some are parking in our sanctuary, and I'm getting a little mad about that. And we're encouraging and challenging our church to go forth for the vision that God has for this church. And I do believe that it is a vision from God. Let me say that again. I do believe that's a vision from God. It's not something that Pastor Eton wants. As a matter of fact, it's something that has been in this church's DNA for 20-something years now. And I remember meeting with the pastor search committee in Abilene, Texas, when you came down. And that was a question I was afraid that you would ask, because I would tell you the truth. And that question was, what is your vision for Bethlehem? And the way that I answered that is that I don't know. I have not been to Bethlehem. I would not be able to discover the vision for the church until I come to the church. And as I've come, God has developed this vision. Amen? A vision to build. A vision to share the love. Amen? Amen. So I want to encourage us to step out in faith in our giving, and to step out in faith in what God is calling each of us to do to manifest this building. Amen? Amen. This month is designated Make Him Known Through Sanctity. Make Him Known Through Sanctity. For 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And that word sanctity in our culture and time is many times it's used to talk about the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. And we're going to mention a little about more about that a little later. But we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. And a message entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. I believe it's three slides. Let's stand in reverence to the word of God, stand symbolically saying that I will stand on the word of God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, I'm going to stand on this word. Amen. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three. Stomach for food. God with a straw and bowl. Body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. With his power, God raised him, Lord, from the dead. So also, the body is members of Christ himself. Shall I then make the members of Christ and unite them with prostitutes? Never. Do you not never know? Prostitute is one foreign body. It is said, the two become one flesh. Another united in the Lord, one in him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All those sins that you commit outside his body. But since his own body, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You from God. You are not your own. Bought with a price. Therefore, God, with your body. Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. You may be seated in the household of the Lord as we're sharing a message entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. As we're going to share three or around 3 points as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We're going to talk about the tie of sex. We're going to talk about the trap of sex. And we're going to talk about the temple of sex. And we want Christians to know this morning that Christians should sanctify their bodies. Christians should sanctify their bodies. Much is being said over what our president made a statement about gay marriage. And it's caused quite a stir and quite a controversy. And others have come to his rescue, if you would, people like Jay-Z, and even the NAACP had made a declaration about same-sex marriage. It has caused quite a stir because many voted for him. All right. Many voted for him, and really, at that day and time, they were calling his name like he was some kind of Messiah. All right. As he wanted to change Washington. But Washington really couldn't be changed. Now, mind you, before I say anything else, I want you to know, as I said Wednesday night, my God doesn't ride the back of a donkey or an elephant.
Right.
Let me say that again. My God does not ride the back of a donkey or an elephant. And thereby, I really don't want my statements to be a political statement. Because all I'm doing today is making a biblical statement. And the Bible does support marriage, but it does not support same-sex marriage. I don't care what our culture says. I don't care what any of our leaders say. When anybody who has any kind of influence over us choose to say, or, and I said say because he said that he believes in that, but he's married to a woman, hello somebody, and have children, But I still have to fall on this thing called the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us this morning in verse 18 to flee from sexual immorality. The old King James says or calls it fornication, which comes from a Greek word that really describes every form of sexual sin. Hello, somebody. So this morning, I didn't come here to preach against same-sex marriage. I came here to share the Word of God, and God's Word is not for same-sex marriage, but also sexual immorality means for those people who are married and cheating on their wives. Adultery, hello somebody. Those single folk that are out, giving their bodies away and not married, that includes that, sexual immorality. Those folk who do have a opposite lifestyles, but they're on the down low and they're playing many of our organs and our pianos this Sunday morning. Oh, God is against that. God is against pedophiles who take advantage of little children. God is against every form of sexual immorality. As a matter of fact, God tells us as Christians to flee from it. Hello, somebody. To flee from sexual immorality. And it's something that many Christians like to play with. Christian singles like to ask the question, how far is too far? And to which I tell you that if you've had to ask that question, you've already gone too far. Hello, somebody. Because the Bible says, flee from sexual immorality. Have nothing to do with it. And that's why I have to flee from that statement that the president made. And I have to flee from all these other people who are being hypocritical and are calling him names. And you got two and three women on the side. Hello, somebody. You pastor a church and there's three first ladies in your church. Hello, somebody. Don't nobody know who the real first lady is. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Just telling it like it is. He says, flee from sexual immorality. And he says that there's something different about this, that all other sins that a person commits are on the outside of the body, but whoever sins against sins against their own body. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. The problem is, in our day and time, it's like in this day and time, is our culture. Our culture has gone awry. Our culture don't know what God says. Our culture, we are living the way that our culture is living. That's why young folk don't get married anymore. Why is that? Because everybody else around them are not committing themselves. Because single women are doing what the old folk used to say. They say, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But just because we come from a sexual society doesn't mean that we as Christians should be affected by it. We should flee from it. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, you better run, Jesse, run. Run, Jesse, run. That's a Christian man who loves the Lord, with all his heart, but things are not going right at home, and your wife is talking to you crazy. But your secretary is smiling in your face every day. Think you're the best thing since sliced bread. Hello, somebody. I say you better get you a new secretary. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We've got to learn to flee from this thing. because this thing can catch you and you can get caught up. As we get to point number one, the tie of sex, you get caught up. He says, do you not know that whoever unites himself with the prostitute is one with her? Now, this culture, in order to understand this text, you got to understand their culture and their day and time. Their culture and their day and time wasn't living together or shacking, as the old folk used to say, or adultery. Well, it was in a way, but it had to do with this temple, worship, the worship of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, where people could go to church. Woo! They could go to church. Hello, somebody. Go to the temple and a part of worship, they could have sex. Uh-oh, somebody. I like to joke and say the Corinthians didn't have a hard time getting men to come to church. Hello, somebody. It was a part of their culture. It was a part of their culture. Some of y'all get that on your way home. But anyway. It was a part of their culture. And folk were getting saved out of that. And Christian folk were doing what the sinners would do. They thought that they could do the same. They thought they could worship at the temple. And they thought that they could have a regular church. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. They thought they could go and get a masseuse in our day and time with a happy ending. Hello, somebody. And come to church. Relax. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. But the Bible had, and Paul in this Bible had to teach them and let them know about what the real meaning of sex is and what we should do and how we should honor our bodies as Christian folk. It says that there's a tie to sex. It says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute, your problem may not be a prostitute, it may be somebody that you call a girlfriend, it may be somebody that you have on the side, it may be I'd like to make it too plain. but he says, who ties himself with a prostitute, is one with her in body.
Right.
For the word says the two shall become one flesh. Which means that means that text comes from the beginning of marriage, which in the Genesis, he's quoting the book of Genesis, and he's really letting them know that, really, sex is for married folk. Hello, somebody. And that's what it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. This is letting us know the meaning and the purpose of marriage, the sanctity of marriage. It says what? A man shall leave his father and his mother and be united to who? His wife. And what is a wife? Male or female? Woman! Hello, somebody. And this is where we get the sanctity of marriage. Marriage is for a man, and marriage is for a woman. And this is the way that God set it up. And it's not that controversial in the church. If anybody else says differently, guess what? I gotta leave you to your opinion. Because the same way you change your opinion, you can change it back next week. Hello, somebody. I'm glad my word says that God is not a man that he should what? And the son of man that what? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I don't have to change my mind. I don't have to be concerned about folk changing their mind in our culture, in our time. I stand on the word of God. And if the word of God says it, that settles it. It's not that controversial. I can agree to disagree. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And I don't have to be mad at you either. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. That's what the Bible says. It says the two shall become one. So I got to teach our young folk, this next generation. We're trying to leave a legacy behind to you as we build this building. But it has to be a legacy of holiness. And if you're here today and you're having sex with a woman or vice versa and a man, God says, that you're out of order. God says that you're living in sin. God says, with doesn't matter what your mama, your daddy, your sister, how any of your brothers and your best friends are living. Oh, sex is for marriage. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, sex is for marriage. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, between a man and a woman. Because they are ties, they are ties. We call those soul ties. That's why it's hard for people's marriage to work out. It's because they've given their bodies away to so many different men and women. And when they finally get married, they bring all those different men and women to the bedroom. And they're really crazy. Hello, somebody. A soul tie. You got too many folk in your bed. And you say, preacher, what you mean? Well, this epidemic of AIDS began to hit. And guess what? It's mostly us who got it. That's where it's passed the most. Hello, somebody. And when you concerned about whether you had it, they're going to tell you to make a list of all the people that you slept with. And you've got to make a call and let them know. When you find out you have, you've got to make a call and let them know that you have it so they can go and get tested. Hello, somebody. Too many soul ties. Oh, young Christian women. Oh, our young daughters. Don't give your body away to somebody that's not willing to give you a ring. Oh, I think Beyonce, not the best theologian, but she said if you like it, you better what? Put a ring on it. Hello, somebody. No, you can't worship in this temple without paying the cost. And the cost is what? Marriage. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I know I'm helping somebody out here today. It's not that controversial. The word says, for this reason, a man, a man, a man, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be united to his wife, his wife, his wife, his wife. Say it with me. His wife. Say it now. Say it like me. His wife. And they shall become one flesh. Oh, if you're married today, you got a green light. Hello, somebody. Then why are you not using it? One preacher said, I got to get my single folk to stop having sex. I got to get my married folk to start having it. Hello, somebody. Don't you know that your sexuality, God says in his word, that the only reason that you're married is you can't control yourself sexually. And the only way that you're not supposed to be fulfilling that area is through what? Fasting and prayer. Hello, somebody. I don't know anybody that's that spiritual. But he says, if you do it, come back together again or what? You're going to be tempted. And that's why a lot of marriages don't work, because they don't have fulfilling sexual relationships and they're tempted. Oh, little Susie will give them something that you want. Ooh. Hello, somebody. Or vice versa. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Because it worked both ways. Amen. Hello, somebody. Because there's ties to sex. Not only that, there's a trap of sex. He says, flee, in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. All other sex, again, as I said before, all other sins a person commits on the outside of his body. But whoever sex or sins sexually sins against his own body. You sin against your own body. Hello, somebody. One of the best ways that you know whether a person has his right mind is, or she has her right mind, is that she or he takes care of themselves. Hello, somebody. And many times, if you go to the big cities, there are people who look very worn and very homeless people walking around, and some talking to themselves, having a conversation with themselves. We know that there's something wrong with them because they don't take care of themselves. Hello, somebody. There's some folk in the household of the God who you're homeless because you haven't been taking care of yourself in this area of your sexuality. And you're walking around talking to yourself with a twitch. Hello, somebody. Because of the relationship you had with that man. You know, one of the ways that I can tell whether a single couple is having sex or not is after the breakup. Hello, somebody. Because if they were having sex, oh, she gonna have problems with him after the breakup. Hello, somebody. And what happens around the church is if that man is involved in church, oh, while they were in a relationship and doing what they thought they were getting away with, she didn't say a word. But after it was all over, oh, she wants to say a word then. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Because she hello, somebody. She sinned against her own body. Hello, somebody. And she's reaping the consequences of it. Yes, come on. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. And I'm hard on the women because of my daughters are being taken advantage of in our culture. 70% of our households are led up by a woman. And in those households, there's normally a child there. And usually that child's father, either he's nowhere to be found, hello somebody, or when you find him, you wish you wouldn't have found him. Because he's sorry and lazy. and you have women in our day and time in our culture who have five different babies by five different daddies. Thank you, sister, for helping me preach my sermon. Hello, somebody. And women are being taken advantage of, and we have a generation of children who are being raised and they don't know their daddies. Hello, somebody. And you think they crazy for acting out. Oh, they're crazy because they come from a crazy place, from a crazy environment. God meant for children to be born in this relationship called marriage, where that child would have that man there committed for the rest of their life and would give her an example of what a real man is. And that's why women have a hard time choosing men today, because they don't have an example of what a real man is. And they'll have sex with him to try to keep him. Hello. How has that plan been working for you? Hello, somebody. How has it been working? It hasn't been working. Hello, somebody. Because if you give him everything, if you act like a hoochie, he's going to treat you like a hoochie. Ooh. Hello, somebody. You're involved in this trap. You're not treating yourself. You're not loving yourself. When you give yourself away in an immoral way, I don't care who he is. He could be a preacher. Right. Hello, somebody. Talking about, oh, God knows me and my wife don't really get along that well. Hello, somebody. Telling you that he's going to leave. I'm going to eventually leave her, and I'm going to be with you. Hello, somebody. That don't work. Ask somebody else. That don't work. He almost usually never leaves his wife. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You're sinning against yourself. You're hurting yourself. Oh, but if you live by the word of God, the word of God will protect you. He says, when you sin in this way, you're sinning against yourself. And brother, you're sinning against yourself too. Hello, somebody. Oh, because we need to tell our men that you are supposed to be holy. You know what they tell the little boys? They tell the little boys, you need to sow your wild oaks before you get married. Sow your wild oaks and then settle down. But there's only one problem with that. When you sow your wild oaks, you're going to reap them. Hello, somebody. And many times you'll reap it in marriage. Hello, somebody. That's why so many marriages. I think Oprah had a show about the 40 million celibate wives and their frustrated husbands. Hello, somebody. Because they were really doing it, living it up when they were single. They got married now. Nothing's happening. You're sowing what you reap. Hello, somebody. You've got to get on one accord. It's a trap. And when you have this mess up as a single person, it'll mess your marriage up when you do get married. And that's why God says in verse 18 to flee from sexual immorality. You've got to flee from it. You can't play with it. You can't try to use it. You can't do that. You've got to run away. Oh, Forrest Gump said, run, Forrest, run. No, that was Jenny. I'm sorry. Jenny said, run, Forrest, run. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh, neighbor, run, Forrest, run. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral person. Hello, somebody. People think that they can do this. No, this text tells us this is a symbolic of your salvation. People who practice this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You practice this, then you're literally not saved. If you can go and sleep with every man and every woman and every, you don't be deceived. Your character is telling, your behavior is telling off on you. You're not saved. Hello, somebody. Ain't that what the book said? Did I make this up? Oh, no. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Hello, somebody. It goes on to mention male prostitutes and what? Homosexuals. Oh, look at there. And I ain't even trying to make my case. It's just right there. Hello, somebody. The Bible says that this is a trap that the devil uses. And he's been using it on many of your lives. There's some women who never get it right. Hello, somebody. And it's a trap. And you're trapped. And your children are trapped. You're wondering why they're so crazy in their relationships. Hello, somebody. It's because they're doing what you modeled before them. Hello, somebody. You gave yourself away to so many different men and women, and now they're doing the same. Hello, somebody. You gave them a perfect model. Now you're trying to act innocent just because you go to church now. Hello, somebody. Say, move on, preacher. It's getting hot in here. Hello, somebody. God says this is evident of your salvation. And again, let me tell you, that's if you practice this. You know, practice means what? You get better. You getting perfect at this thing. If you practice this as a person, you know, you're not getting better. You're getting worse. Or you getting better. You used to date three women at the same time. Now you got dated five women at the same time. Hello, somebody. You getting better? No. And you come to the household of the Lord, looking for your praise. Hello, somebody. Because you know they come to the church when they're really trying to find somebody to settle down. Hello, somebody. So don't just because they're in church doesn't mean, hello, somebody, that they're saved. Hello, somebody. Especially in the Dallas area, I know that was the best place to go. These men would go to find a woman. It's at church. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Let me go on. The last point. The temple of sex. It says in verse 19, do you not know that your bodies are what? Temples of the Holy Spirit. Who is where? In you, whom you have received from God. Right. And he goes on to say, you are what?
Not your own.
You're not your own. Hello, somebody. Don't you know, young lady? You're not your own. The next time he try to sleep with you, you tell him, I can't do it because I'm not my own.
Right.
Seek my father. So back in the olden days when we did have families together, a young boy just couldn't come into a girl's life. He had to go ask her daddy. and her daddy would lay it down. Hello, somebody. Daddy probably was, had guns laying around, laying it out, and saying, hey, I don't know where you've been running, I don't know who you've been hanging with, but this is my child, this is my daughter. Hello, somebody. Back in those days, they had what? Shotgun witness. Hello, somebody. You say, oh, I'm glad I'm in this day and time. No, you're not. That's one of the most detrimental things in our culture and our society now is no families.
Amen. Come on.
This is the hardest thing that we face as a church and really as we face as a nation. Because when you take the man out of the household, you've heard me say it, and my brothers keep us, there's a 93 or 92% chance that if that man gets saved, his whole household will be saved. Hello, somebody. But when you don't have him in the household, you wonder why our children act the way that they do. Hello, somebody. Yeah, it's open season. There's no protection in the home. And these little girls are giving themselves away. And little boys are acting like dogs as opposed to men. Hello, somebody. Don't you know a real man commits to his wife for life? Hello, somebody. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise up in here. I said for life. No matter what, for life, even if it hurts, oh, for life, that's what Jesus did. Oh, Jesus gave his life for the church, and that's what that man is symbolic of in marriage. Oh, he gave it, he suffered, he sacrificed, he died. That's why I talk to a man, and you're going through a hard time in your marriage, I tell you to stop trying not to die. Hello, somebody. Go ahead and die. Hello, somebody. Oh, Evan, you don't know she's killing me. That's all right. Oh, that's all right. Don't you know that you are an image of Christ? That means that you can die and be raised again in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here. Don't you give up on that woman. Don't you give up on her. She needs you. God calls her the weaker vessel. She needs you. I know at times she act like she don't need you, but she needs you. Even when she tell you off, she really saying, oh, I need him. I need him. She tell you off. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Be committed. You're a man, not a woman. Hello, somebody. Don't you give up. Because Christ didn't give up on you, don't you know? Christ didn't give up on you. Some folk are in this place right now, and nobody in their right mind thought that you would be here today. Because Christ didn't give up on you. Hello, somebody. I'm so glad that Christ didn't give up on me when I wanted to go and run and do my own thing. Oh, when I didn't want to be a preacher, I wanted to be everything but a preacher. Lord, I'll do this, but I won't do that. Hello, I'm so glad that he didn't give up on me. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Don't you know, Christian person, your body is a temple. A single person, you're supposed to live holy unto married. And married folk, you live holy unto the marriage that you have, unto the woman that you have. The Bible says you were bought with a price. And guess what? Therefore, honor God with what? With your body. Honor God with your body. Regardless of what our culture is doing. Regardless of what our culture is doing. Cases running rapid. Marriage is almost literally, it's about to be extinct in our culture. And if marriage become extinct, imagine how bad and the challenges that we, our children will have. Hello, somebody. Yes, chaos. Because I know they tell you that A woman can be everything to a child. A woman can be everything that God allows her, but she can never be a man. A man teaches a man how to be a man. Hello, somebody. That's why we got these baby boys that grew up. Their mamas coddled them too much. Hello, somebody. And when it's time to go and get some work done, they don't want to work. They want mama to take care of them. Hello, somebody. He's supposed to be at your house as your husband. He's over laying up under his mama. Hello, somebody. That's the theft of not having a man in the household. The Bible says that if a man don't eat or work, he should not eat. Hello. He shouldn't eat. That's why Ricky was selling during his sermon. Brother McNeil, he's like, call me back when you get a job. Hello, somebody. Man, you got to be that leader. You've got to be the one that worked, don't you know? That's why God gave you them muscles. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. That you can work and get a job. Hello, somebody. You got them guys that work out in the gym and won't do nothing at home. I used to wonder back in my days at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship whenever, and back then I was a skinny fella. We had a whole lot of big guys at our church. And whenever it was time to move, I would be the one struggling to help folk move. And those guys with them big muscles, hello somebody. Hello somebody. Mama's boys. Hello somebody. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, what? And if you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, what? He does not belong to Christ. If you're living a life of sexual immorality, you need to check your faith. Check and see if you really gave your life to Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. If you're living a lifestyle of sexual immorality, you need to check your faith to see if you really are in Christ. Because God says if you practice this lifestyle, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if you were saved, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you got to do what Abraham did in our lesson this morning. Amen. You've got to obey immediately. Hello, somebody. Because the devil going to take this seed away. You're going to leave it and say, oh, I'm all right. I can get married next year. It's always next year. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. God is telling somebody here, married, unmarried, you got to get your life right.
All right.
This is the month of sanctity. There can't be sanctity in marriage when you are not being sanctified in singleness. Hello, somebody. You arguing with what the president said, but at least he married. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. We are not to take on the characteristics of our culture. We're called to be countercultural. And God has called us to be holy, to live holy. And if you're here today, God is speaking to you. He wants you to live holy. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, deacons, will you come? Saints are praying. I'm so glad that my Christ went countercultural. I'm so glad that when the devil wanted him to live his life, he decided to give his life. He recognized what this text says. He recognized that he was not his own. The Don't you know here today, saint, that you are not your own? You've been bought with a price. And it was this price that Jesus would have to pay as he struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane, and as he prayed on that night, he prayed so hard that, oh, sweat drops of blood came down. He prayed so hard. He tried to get his friends to pray with him, but he had to make this decision on his own. Somebody, oh, you're thinking about trying to get somebody to pray, for you know you've got to make this decision on your own, and you've got to say today that nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, let me say it again. You've got to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when he said that, he had to get up and go die. I said he had to get up and go die. And when he was tried before men who said he was guilty, he was really innocent. Oh, but they said guilty. They put a crown of thorn on his head. Oh, they beat his body and mocked him and scorned him, put a cross on his back. Oh, led him through the streets of Jerusalem. I'm so glad he realized that he was not his own, and he carried that cross, oh, to that hill called Golgotha. He carried that cross to that hill called Golgotha, laid that cross down. Oh, and they nailed him to the cross. Oh, they nailed him to the cross, hung him up between two thieves, two sinners. Oh, one believed in him and another cursed him. Oh, but he kept his faith, and they couldn't take his life. He had to give his life, and he gave his life on that cross for you and for me. And they took him down off that cross, laid him in a borrowed tomb, and the Bible says that on the third day, I said on the third day, that he got up with all power in his hands. I said the third day he got up with all power in his hands. Oh, and he paid the price and the cost, oh, for me to be saved, and the cost to tell me how to live. Don't you know you're here today? You've been bought with a price. Your body is not your own.
To the altar. Because I know this has affected us and our families and for generations.
Right.
And God is trying to get us to break these generational curses that are on our lives. This is something that you don't really want to make public.
All right.
But you don't know that you've already made it public by your lifestyle.
All right. Amen.
But it's something that you can get right from this day forth. You know, that's the thing I like about God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Is that he teaches us. We don't know a lot of stuff, especially those of us who come from backgrounds where we didn't have a family, a solid family. We don't know, and we have to be taught. All we know is what we've seen. God is trying to break some things off of us today. Shall we pray? Father God, we come this morning, Lord, just wanting to lift us all up to you, Father. And ask, Father God, that you will enable us to overcome these generational curses that have been in our lives, Father. We ask, Lord, that you break us, Lord, and that you, after you break us, that you make us, Father. Father, we need you, Father, because we're coming up against generations of lifestyles that have been modeled that are wrong, Father. Our granddaddies did wrong, and our daddies did wrong, and we were raised, and we did wrong, Father. But we're calling you, Father, to call us out like Abraham was called out, oh, to be a man of God and to be a woman of God and to walk holy from this point on, Father. Father, pray for that single person here. Oh, that they may walk holy from this point on. Pray for that person, oh Lord, that is married today, and that they may walk all perfect from this point on. Praying, Lord, oh, for every man, woman, and child that may be struggling in their sexuality, and they heard what the president said, but this morning they heard what God said and realized that it's not a lifestyle that should be commended. It's a lifestyle that should be called out of you, Father, right now, in Jesus' name. Heal, Father, go
abused sexually as children, Father. They're acting up now in their adulthood, Father. Oh, heal those who were touched in the darkness of night, and they called out, and mama didn't hear them, and daddy didn't hear them, and they carry all this trouble in their sexuality. Heal them, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray for your healing power, oh, in Jesus' name, that we might be able to obey your word, Father, that we might put ourselves in the best place to be blessed. Some, Father, here today, you want to bless them with even more, Father, like you told David, I would have blessed you with more if you had to ask. And there's some here today you want to bless with more, but it's what they're doing with their sexuality that's holding them back, Father. And in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you would release them. In Jesus' name, that you would set them free. In Jesus' name, set their bodies free. In Jesus' name, set their minds free. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, that they will walk in newness of life, that they will be a better example than what they had to their children, Father. In Jesus' name, say it with me. In Jesus' name, say it like you mean it. In Jesus' name, say it like you've been delivered. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Father, we want to sanctify our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're asking us to honor you in our body and with our body, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. As we're going to leave this altar in faith and know that we can walk in newness of life, that there are greater blessings for us, Lord, because we've just been set free, because we've just been delivered. In Jesus' name. The church said, amen.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms. And his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listen throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.